Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now stay with the fan for this special program.
Hey, baseball fans, the game is over.
Welcome to the Gene Wagner Plumbing Baseball Postgame Show.
After the last pitch, you've made the switch for 17 years. It's time to talk about the game and the team with Tim Allen.
Tim Allen's here. What do you got, Tim?
We'll hear the highlights.
And that one's hit high and deep to right. Suzuki back. Grown man home run by Rowdy Tellez. Brewers have the lead.
We'll hear from the manager and the players. We'll discuss the topics from the fans to the front office.
I like Tim's perspective.
History is made each and every year, and we're talking about it. 17 years of coverage after each game. Here's your host, Tim Allen.
It is a final from St. Louis, and the results are not good. The Brewers fall in game one of this big three-game set, 3-1 final. Welcome in, everybody. It is the Gene Wagner Plumbing Postgame Show. Tim Allen, Tim Shea, hanging out with you a Friday night here in the Lakeland University Studios, the leader in online education. Learn on your terms, lakeland.edu, and 11 strikeouts later, the Brewers put up a single tally. That's one run. Left a bunch of runners on base, couldn't come up with the big hit. I will say this, and I'm sure Craig Counsell is going to mention this after the ball game here tonight, is that a lot of loud outs, a lot of balls hit on the barrel that found leather. And sometimes that, you know, hey, that's going to happen. But, you know, no excuses for the 11 strikeouts. That's just too many. And the pit on the pitching front, considering Lauer's two-run home run that he gave up to Goldschmidt in the first inning, settled in quite nicely, ends up going the full six innings, a quality start to get into that parameter. Three runs allowed, and wouldn't you know it, the two studs on their team, Goldschmidt and Arenado, did all the damage. Two-run shot by Goldschmidt in the first, solo shot by Arenado in that sixth inning. That's all they needed right there. And the Brewers fall in a huge game. And I wonder, you know, it's Jordan Montgomery, the left-hander, that shut the Brewers down. And I just wonder if, you know, maybe you go against the grain once in a while, if you're Craig Counsell. And that is, you got a guy that's hitting well over 350 since the All-Star break in the name of Colton Wong. And because there's Jordan Montgomery on the hill, Colton Wong doesn't get the start, and Mike Brasso is your cleanup hitter. Did I say that again? Mike Brasso is now your cleanup hitter anytime you face a lefty, right? Is that how we're rolling here?
Sure looks like it.
Yeah, it does look like that. And then you get Rowdy Tellez. So you have Wong really doing well since the All-Star break. You have Wong returning to St. Louis, which, you know, for all intents and purposes, does provide a little extra boost for players that go back to their old haunts. And then you have Rowdy Tellez, who essentially single-handedly won you a ball game on Wednesday and homered off a lefty in that at-bat in the ninth inning to tie the game. He sits the bench as well. And in place, you have Mike Rosso and Tyrone Taylor. And look at it this way, folks. Are you a better offense? Forget about the analytics. Are you a better offense with Rowdy Tellez or Tyrone Taylor in your lineup? And I know it's not apples to apples here, but I'll make it make sense. If Andrew McCutchen plays center field for Taylor, then Taylor rides the bench. Now you have a DH spot open. Rowdy goes to first, and Keston is your DH. Are you a better offense with Rowdy Tellez on the field for four ABs or Tyrone Taylor? And does someone want to explain to me why Jonathan Davis is still even on this baseball team? Between the two, Jonathan Davis and Tyrone Taylor, you don't think maybe one of the rookies would do a little bit better than these two guys? I don't know. I would probably try it. I would try it soon just to give it a look. And then you have Colton Wong. Are you a better offense with Colton Wong in the ballgame or a Tyrone Taylor? Or Colton Wong and Rowdy Tellez in the ballgame instead of Tyrone Taylor and Mike Brasso? Let's go two for two. Taylor and Wong, Tellez and Wong for Taylor and Brasso. I think we know the answer to that. I think we do. So that begs the question here after this loss. Is Craig Counsell too much into the analytics versus his experience and the way the team is playing and what he's seeing lately and where they're at right now in terms of the season and a hardcore pennant race? I mean, that's what this is. I mean, this is every game. This is sort of an every pitch kind of deal, at least where I come from. I want to get your reaction after, and I know most everybody within the sound of my voice here absolutely despises losing to the St. Louis Cardinals. And don't look now, tomorrow night, the St. Louis Cardinals will celebrate their 40th year anniversary of the 1982 World Series while the Brewers are in town. Isn't that nice? What timing? I mean, that just was coincidental, right? In the promotion and marketing department for the St. Louis Cardinals, really? Just so happened the Brewers are in town, and they're going to celebrate the victory? Although Burns might have something to say about that tomorrow. We'll get to that. The biggest game of the year today, and really what these are, these head-to-head games against the St. Louis Cardinals, these are the biggest games of the year, incrementally. And now we turn the page into tomorrow's game, and it clearly is the biggest game of the year. But analytics versus the gut for Craig Counsell, is it played too much on an iPad? Is it just, you know, being a little bullheaded and this is the way we're going to do it and that's that? And I don't care. I don't care what the names on the jerseys are. I'm just going to go with these guys and that's that, because this shows, these numbers show me that this is the way to go. We've had this conversation a few times this year. But see, this is telling here tonight. Rowdy Tellez coming off an amazing game on Wednesday, homering off a left-hander. And because it's Jordan Montgomery for the St. Louis Cardinals, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm going with my guys here down the stretch. That's all I know. And again, if I'm going to break it down to you, are you a better offense throughout today's game against Jordan Montgomery with Tellez or Taylor in the lineup? I think we know the answer to that. You could make the argument Wong and Brasso. I think I think we could entertain that conversation a little bit. But since Colton Wong is hot right now, maybe not. And what does Wong do in his lone AB tonight against Helsley? A base hit. Again, I want multiple ABs against these guys. And just to add a little injury to this, Rowdy Tellez is, I think, 0 for 8 as a pinch hitter. So if you're going to go by analytics, then where does that come into play? He's not very good coming off the bench as a pinch hitter, which is the position you put him in heading into the game. Just saying. Before I get to some reaction here, another thing I've noticed, a little bit of a trend here. And that is, whenever Craig Counsell's pregame mentions that we need to be patient against this pitcher, and this is, I've no numbers to back this up, but it's just an observation. Whenever Craig Counsell says, we're going to have to go at this guy and be a little patient with him, it's never a good thing for the Brewers offense. They struggle. It just, this is off the top of my head. This is listening to Craig, following every Brewers game. As you guys know, I follow every pitch all the time. It's all Brewers all day. Whenever he mentions being patient, it's just not a good thing for the Brewers offense. It's almost like it zaps the life out of him. Now, I will hand it on a positive note to Eric Lauer. Again, a little bit of a rough first inning, settles in, gave his team a chance to win. That's what you can ask for out of Eric Lauer against a, you know, formidable right-handed heavy lineup for the St. Louis Cardinals. So I think he pitched well tonight. I really do, despite the struggles in that first. You know, you walk a guy to lead off the game in your outing, and then you're facing O'Neill, Goldschmidt, and Arenado. You're asking for trouble there. I mean, go right at Carlson. Make him hit his way on. Fine, let's go. And then you have the Brewers offense struggling with 11 strikeouts, and they left a lot of runners on base. Now, again, I will say this. They hit into a lot of loud outs. That's going to happen. Easily, the Brewers could have put up a crooked number here. Easily. That's and again, as much as I hate the term at times, the quote, that's baseball, I think that played a little bit of a part in this ball game tonight. I really do. To be fair and objective about it, it did. They had five or six screamer outs, and especially early they did. And that took the luster off things a little bit. Instead of patience, I would have told these guys heading, this is just me. And maybe I would have fallen on the sword because of it. And Jordan Montgomery pitches a complete game victory. I would have told my guys heading into this game one against St. Louis, I said, everyone goes through the attack mode early on. I want the lead. I want to play from the lead. We're just coming off an off day. Our bullpen is fresh. Our guys are ready in the back end. Eric Lauer's been a bulldog here this year. I think he'll hold us in the game. Everybody attack. Someone needs to do the numbers, too, on how often Christian Yelich has taken the first pitch fastball for a strike. Someone add those numbers up. Because I don't know. What is Yelich now? 4 for his last 22? He's starting to slide again. All right, 414-677-1250. Got that new number going. 414-677-1250. Noah, you're first up here on the Fan. Your thoughts on a Brewers game one loss here, 3-1 to the Cards.
Timmy, who's our best hitter?
Our best hitter, I would say, it depends how you measure it. I mean, Yelich has been, for a couple months now, he's been like a 290 hitter.
But I think you could also make the argument that Rowdy Tellez is your best hitter. And what other team plays matchups with their best hitter? I don't get it.
Well, I will say this, that it did dawn on me today that, wait a second, against the St. Louis Cardinals, your home run leader, you are sitting because there's a lefty on the hill.
Yeah, and he's only batting 235 against lefties this year in, 81 plate appearances. But still, come on. We have to be in charge. Like, we cannot let other teams control us. We have to be the ones putting the foot on the gas pedal. They can adjust to us. I don't get it. And another thing, too, is Yelich is sliding. What?
So, Noah, let me ask you this. Is Counsell too much into the metrics, into the analytics?
He is at times, for sure. But I think more or less in these past couple of years with the pitchers, he's let him go longer versus in the past he'd pull him. But I think he does get a little too, you know, video game like, okay, we're playing matchups. But even tonight, Yelich, too, he's struggling. Why not lay down a bunt there when you had first and third, one out, lay down a bunt there, put some pressure on the defense to get him out. Maybe it was 2-0 game then. Maybe you safety squeeze him in. But if not, just put pressure on the defense. You know, it's, I don't know. I feel like at times Yelich tries to do too much. And when he does it, he's let balls go right down the middle, like you said.
Yeah. All right, Noah, thanks for the call. He's talking about, I believe, the fifth inning, two on, runners at the corners for Yelich and Adames. Strikeout, they're, you know, Cardinals get back in the dugout. And maybe, I mean, again, to let things, and here's the deal, 51 games left here. To let things play out the way they've been playing out, I just think, when do those analytics come into play? When does, like, the general overview of your seasonal analytics come into play? In other words, you know, we're about 10 games over 500 now, 9 at 60 and 51. But the offense, the opportunistic side of the offense, when does he do something a little bit different, because we already know the outcome through 110 games? There's that to think about, and I'm still convinced you're going to see McCutchen a lot in center field. I don't know when that switch gets flipped, but I think you will see him in center field more times than not, because that's all you can do right now. I mean, you're going to have to play your players, and again, this Rowdy Tellez thing, we're back to that again. Rowdy went through a stretch there where he was the everyday first baseman, and I don't know where that went. It just went away. Hunter Renfro has enough analytical information just in the last year and this year. So season of 2021 and this year. To not bat behind Mike Brasso, I'm sorry. There's enough to go on for Hunter Renfro's season last year and what he's done this year to not hit fifth against a left-hander because Mike Brasso is having a good season in about, 40 at-bats against lefties. Whatever it is. I don't know what it is. 414-677-1250. That part of it is the one part I think that aggravates a few Brewers fans, maybe more than anything else, is the inconsistent lineup. Now, let's flip the coin here. The reason why some of these guys are as successful as they are might be because of the way he is utilizing this analytical information. We have to consider that at least interject that into the conversation, that, you know, maybe it's because he's doing it this way that guys get hot through a stretch. I don't think so. That's me. I believe that players need to play. They want to play. They want to get into a rhythm. And if you want to move the lineup around a little bit, in other words, Rowdy, I don't believe, should be your three hitter against a lefty. So let's start there, because that's two lefties against a lefty in the first inning. I don't think I feel comfortable doing that. But could McCutchen then be your three hitter against a lefty, and then Rowdy is the four, or Renfro is your three hitter, McCutchen's your four, and then Rowdy Tellez is your five against the lefty? I think everybody would be good with that. No one's going to gripe about that. I mean, as Noah just said, 235 is not, I mean, it's not great, but it's not a train wreck against lefties. I've seen a lot worse. There's left-handed hitters in baseball right now that start every single game for their respective teams that hit far less than 235 against lefties. Yet they're starting against every lefty. That's almost in the range of sort of holding your own against lefties, if you think about it. All right, 414-677-1250. As the Brewers fall 3-1, nobody likes losing to the St. Louis Cardinals. Not me, not you, not anybody. Brewers now a game and a half back. And I don't think there's any debate as tomorrow's game is the biggest game of the year. I don't believe anyone's going to argue about that. Try it. Tim Shea, just try it.
Not at all. You got your Cy Young Award winner going tomorrow.
Put them up. No, you want to even up the series.
Yeah.
You cannot get swept in this series.
No.
You'd be 3.5 back. With what, 49 to play?
Yep.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Dick. Dick felt the need to pick up the phone and call the fan. What's going on, Dick?
Well, I'm very depressed. I think this is a statement game tonight, regardless of what you said about the lineup tonight, because I thought that was when they put it up on Bally Sports, and I had no clue what the heck was going on. But this is a statement game. Our pitching has been fine. Our trouble is that we do not have any hitters that scares the opposite pitchers. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got the guy at third, and you got the guy at first for St. Louis. Every time they come up, I can barely watch it because something good's going to happen for St. Louis, who I can't stand. You know, we got to back this up. We're in the worst division in the National League. Here, I'm trying to be positive in my head. I can't even convince myself of this. We've got the Yankees coming to town. St. Louis swept them, okay? We've got 7 against the Dodgers. We after tonight, what do we got, 6 or 7 against St. Louis? Where are we going to get these victories to get us into first place? If we don't win the division, we're not going to the playoffs. I mean, Tim, talk me off this ledge, please.
All right, here's – okay, gotcha, Dick. All right. Their pitching has and will be good. Okay, so that you take it game by game.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I think we oftentimes tend to look ahead and say, wow, look at this. Because if you're gonna look at it that way, then you gotta look at the Cardinals rest of their season. And the rest of their season, the winning percentage of the teams against in the final 50 games for St. Louis is under 450 winning percentage. That's why these games are so damn important.
Yep.
So that's number one. You gotta make sure that you understand that pitching is going to keep you in these games. Hell, they lost 3-1 tonight, not 13-1. It was just 3-1. The other thing to keep in mind, it's a one game at a time thing, and that's to me where I think it gets good. It gets good and entertaining. It's one game at a time. Let's just take it first inning, and that's why first inning of the first game of a big series. It, to me, is really big, and it just, you know, to have the Brewers go down 1-2-3 and just, boop, there it was. First inning, here they come, their bottom of the first inning, 2-run homer from Goldschmidt. I mean, you could read the writing on the wall there. I just don't like those starts in game one of a big series. But you take it one game at a time, you got Burns on the hill tomorrow.
Yeah, okay, but Tim, where are our runs going to come from?
Yeah, those runs, I will start here. Those runs were... That fear should have been Christian Yelich.
Yeah.
They don't fear Christian Yelich. Nobody fears Christian Yelich anymore, boys.
We don't have a guy anybody fears.
No, agreed. They will fear someone if they're scorching hot, if they're just recently in a 10-game, you know, scorcher. But outside of that, I hear what you're saying. Those guys, okay. And look at the damage done tonight. Goldschmidt, 2-run shot. Arenado, solo shot to account for all 3 runs for St. Louis.
Now I don't know. I don't know if you watch the Valley Sports game. Ryan Anderson tonight in the beginning of the games after the innings after they scored in that. I'm thinking, is he a Cardinals announcer or is he our announcer? My wife said, you know, maybe speaking the truth. He was not. I think he's written off the season for us. I'm sorry. I love the guy, but he might speak the truth.
You know what? My girlfriend mentioned the exact same thing, that Brian Anderson seems
down. Why are we still
down
with these women? What the heck, you know?
All right. Dick, thanks for the call, man.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I mean, they're observant, and I know Brewers fans are. They read that. They detect that. You know me. I'm going to stay positive. And they got to take it one game at a time. And I think if that's the MO for Craig Counsell, and maybe this team needs to be in chase mode. And here's another way to look at it. Let's not discount the fact that St. Louis is not better or any worse than the Milwaukee Brewers. So if you're praising the St. Louis Cardinals, then give the same praise to the Milwaukee Brewers. The Brewers have been in first place the lion's share of this season. The Cardinals are a game and a half up in the standings, not 10.5. So each time we look at that juggernaut of a lineup, let's keep in mind they're right there with the crew.
That's the way I look at it. And we can look at it again in bunches if we choose, and that's always fun to, you know, take a look at. Wow, the Brewers have these series against the Cardinals and the Mets and the Yankees and the Dodgers and all this. Well, how about one game at a time? We're in a pennant race here. That's the thing I enjoy. I enjoy pennant races. I've been doing this 17 years, and pennant races are cool. I'm addicted. I could get used to this, and we are used to this. So let's go. Is it frustrating at times? Yep. Do you get mad at times? Yep. And then we celebrate at times, like Wednesday. Yep. Great play from Rowdy. Willie with the walk-off. You know, that's all part of this. All right, Pete, you're next at 414-677-1250. What's going on, Pete?
Hey, how's it going? I will say I'm not a Council fan, and his game time is decision making. And I do have to make, and I know you've said it, you know, over and over again, Mike Brasso, there is no way in the world that guy should be batting cleanup, let alone in the lineup.
No chance.
He should be your 8 or 9 hitter or something.
Zero chance. That dude should be batting 7th, and then you got a pretty good offense. You would then give, I'll let you finish here, Pete. You would then give a little more momentum, excitement, and energy as you move Hunter Renfroe up in there. You know, guys
right.
like that, Rowdy Tellez up in there, Andrew McCutchen. It's Mike Brasso is your cleanup hitter. And again, I'll point back to 2020 in a playoff game where the Brewers lose that game and their season's over. Ryan Healy
yep.
was your man. This is yep. Mike Brasso here.
I don't know how he can justify it. And, you know, and you got a guy like Colton Wong. I mean, this offense, obviously, if you look at their numbers, I mean, they are challenged. So you got to take advantage of what you got. You got Colton Wong hitting over .375 since the All-Star break. But what I really wanted to say was I wanted to talk about two moves that the St. Louis manager made tonight that you would never see Craig Counsell do because he's so set in his ways. Jordan Montgomery had only thrown a maximum. He'd thrown 83 pitches. That's the most pitches he's thrown in a game all year. Tonight, because of the situation, because he was doing a good job with the Brewers, he threw 108 pitches. You got to kind of go with it sometimes. And then he brings in his closer in the 8th inning, Ryan Helsley, and he pitches 2 innings. Yep. And this happened a couple times last year where the Brewers took out, they had a couple, one extra inning game I remember in particular. We used, you know, Williams and Hayter and that. And then all of a sudden it got to like the 11th inning and that, and we didn't have anybody left. He was using his top guys for 2 innings and the Cardinals won the game. So I don't know. I just think Council was outmanaged tonight and I'm hoping for the best the rest of the way. Thanks.
All right. Good deal. Good deal. We'll talk down the line, Pete. Thanks for the call. So you see guys manage different styles. And Marmol just has a different style than Council. Again, a lot of people will say that managers, generally speaking, kind of go with the same flow. You'll see kind of the same types of moves. Uh-uh. There's an absolute nuance to the moves you make. There's a strategy. There's a game plan. There's a style. There's a personality. And, you know, again, if you're going on numbers-based management, then when do this year's numbers come into play? When does recent history come into play? Like Pete just said, Colton Wong, one of the hotter hitters in baseball since the All-Star break. Well, because it's a lefty, he's going to sit. Well, wait a second. When do you just go against the numbers-based decision to go with, that dude's one of the hottest hitters in baseball since the All-Star break? You have numbers. You have, that dude's one of the best hitters in baseball since the All-Star break. You have numbers. And you have, that's my team leader in home runs right there. Numbers. Team leader in home runs right there. Craig Counsell made a comment prior to the game that said, Jordan Montgomery, he's not going to pitch very long. I'm paraphrasing. Not going to pitch very long tonight. He doesn't tend to go deep into ball games. We need to show some patience against him. Well, guess what? Almost 110 pitches. Marmol tapped the accelerator, didn't he? The lefty challenges are based in two parts. One, because there's a left-handed pitcher out there, and they just do, you know, the makeup of this lineup is going to be a little bit challenged against left-handers. That's just the way it is. But it's also based on your lineup that you put out there. The results are affected by the lineup that's out there facing the lefties. Now, they're right around 500 against lefty starters this year. I think they're 17-18 now with this loss tonight, which isn't, you know, it's not horrible. But a good baseball team is not supposed to be under 500 in those metrics. Home and road splits, lefty righties. They should be all great teams are above 500 across the board against those types of guys. And these guys are 17-18. Why? Because of that lineup, in part, because of that lineup. All right, 414-677-1250. Analytics versus, you know what? I'm going to give these guys a start. They're my guys. Brewers offense better with Tyrone Taylor in it or Rowdy Tellez in it. It's just as simple as that. I can't make it any more simplistic. Are the Brewers better with Mike Brasso in the cleanup spot or Hunter Renfro? I don't know. You tell me. All right, Timmy, where are we going?
Let's go to Steve.
All right, Steve, you're next here on The Fan. Good evening, Steve.
Hey, Tim. Yeah, I'm totally on board with you on the whole lefty-righty lineup challenge thing that Council always tries to do. And, you know, I can understand from, like, a numbers and analytics perspective, but and this isn't even, like, riding the hot hand thing. It's just, like you said, Sam Schmitz mentioned it earlier today, you just got to put the best lineup you have out there every single day and just see what happens. It's like, how much data do we have? How many data points do we have on if Council actually does put his best hitters out there every day against a lefty, regardless if they bat right or left? We don't even have that.
On the other hand, Steve, one would say here at 60-51, all right, that's the record, 9 games over .500. One could make the argument that the way he is putting his lineup together is the reason they're 60-51. They might be 6 games under .500 if he doesn't do this. Now, I'm just throwing it out there. I don't believe that, but I'm just throwing it out there. Some people would think that.
You know, and that's a really great point, because we don't know if there's any – I mean, like, you don't want to – there's the whole, like, you know, causation doesn't equal correlation and vice versa.
That's right. That's right.
So it's just – it is kind of maddening when you see – the lineups that he puts out. But again, that's why I'm sitting here, you know, as like a lowly IT tech instead of a manager of a major baseball team, major league baseball team. And, you know, I don't have any, like, you know, I don't have any, like, bullet points here to talk about. I was just, I kind of tuned into the game late, and I think I tuned in like in the fifth inning, and I saw that they were down 2-0. I was like, what, did Goldie hit us again? And sure enough, I go back and I look, and, you know, he has another home run against us. It's just, it's like the same guys on that team always have our number, but oh my God.
Yeah. He's having a great year, Goldschmidt, and he's been rocking the Brewers for a few seasons now. All right, Steve, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for the conversation. 414-677-1250. Bill, you weren't in the Dunn Club, were you?
Hey, Tim. I'm not even going to address that. What I want to talk about is analytics is fine, but it's being misapplied. And the reason I'm saying that is, have you've taken a statistics class at some point, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
And what's the first thing they talk about? if you flip a coin 100 times, what's the odds that heads are going to come up?
Mm-hmm.
It's 50%. But that's because a coin has an equal probability of coming up heads or tails. It's one or the other. I'm saying analytics is misapplied because they're making Brasso and Tellez equivalent players. They are not. It doesn't make any sense the way they're applying statistics here.
And I think you can spin the numbers. Bill, thanks, man. I enjoy your weekend. You can spin the numbers a whole mess of different directions. And they do. But I'm just saying, as a general feel, I don't think anyone's going to disagree with this. Are you a better offense in tonight's... Now, in tonight's game is the key here. In tonight's game, if you have Rowdy Tellez getting four at-bats or Tyrone Taylor getting four at-bats, are you a better offense tonight if Colton Wong plays second base, Luis Urias is at third, and Mike Brasso comes off the bench? It's just as simple as that. But one could argue that with a left-hander out there, no, you're not. And I know the numbers nerds and the numbers geeks are looking it up right now, and Craig Counsell might be that guy. But I believe... I asked him years ago, because this has come up how many times in the show over the years. So once Craig Counsell got some foothold as a manager, I asked him to his face, one-on-one. You know, what's with the analytics versus the gut? I mean, how do we do this here? How do we, you know, would you say you're in one camp or the other? And I can't remember how I phrased it, but he said both. He did say both. It's a both. I don't see the one side. I'm sorry, boys and girls. I don't see it. We follow as much Brewers baseball as about anybody on the planet. And I don't see it that way. I don't see the gut. Have you ever heard Craig Counsell say, no, I felt good about leaving him in there because he's been on a roll? Do you recall, Tim, Craig Counsell ever saying that?
No.
Hey, I felt good. He's been playing some hot baseball. And hey, when guys get hot like that, you get out of the way.
Not this year.
I don't think I've ever heard it.
Yeah.
Now, again, the offensive struggles has been an issue, but they're not horrible offense. They're not. What they're missing is the bopper in the middle, the guarantee, the assurance that you got one guy that's going to affect the other pitcher, one guy that's going to affect decision-making in the other dugout. They just don't have him. They don't have him. They had him, and he's the leadoff hitter now. Okay, another day goes by where Christian Yelich has hit one home run. Let's see, what's today, the 12th?
Yep.
Okay, if we get to Tuesday, in the span of two calendar months, Christian Yelich will have hit one home run. When we get to Tuesday... One home run in 60 calendar days. Can someone tell me how we got there? He's impacted this line, offense way more than anybody thinks. And I'm not just looking for a scapegoat here. I'm not on a witch hunt for Christian Yelich. I'd prefer he's the three hitter and rocking 37 homers a year. But how did we get to this point where 60 days go by, a fully healthy Christian Yelich, 60 days, and he has one home run, and he bats leadoff and gets four or five at-bats every one of those 60 calendar days? Someone want to explain that to me? Nobody wants to talk about that elephant in the room. Nobody wants to address or acknowledge that he has turned into an on-base leadoff hitter that hits a bunch of singles. And boy, look at his exit velocity, though. Let's all focus on that. See, I told you, we can spin the numbers any way we want. We can make them look better. Wow. Rocket. Off the bat. 106. Look at that. Christian Yelich. Woo. I'm happy about that. On base percent, he draws a lot of walks. Look at the leaderboard. He's in the top 10 in walks in the league. We're starting to see him in runs scored. And walks. He's starting to get... all the metrics you look at where he's in the top 10 are all leadoff hitter metrics. None of them are batting average. None of them are RBIs. None of them are slugging percentage. None of them are home runs. None of them are doubles. Well, he might be creeping in there on doubles, maybe. I don't know. I think I checked some weeks ago, and he might have been starting to enter the fray. But that's part of the problem with the offense here. Number 22 is part of the problem. And if you were to slice up the pie to say, why is the Brewers offense underachieving? They're not horrible. Don't get me wrong. They're not horrible, but they are underachieving. Who has the biggest piece of that pie right now? No doubt in my mind, it's number 22. And it should be in your mind also. They lost a Nolan Arenado. They lost a Paul Goldschmidt. The guy didn't retire. The guy didn't quit. The guy didn't get hurt. I don't know what the guy did, but he just morphed into a leadoff hitter. That probably would be worth about $9 million a year. I shouldn't have brought money into that, Tim. That was unfair, right?
Not at all.
No?
No.
Did everything else make sense?
Oh, yeah.
It absolutely did. Because they got to pitch around him. They got to pitch to him. They got runners on base in front of him. They decision make around a super stud like that. Only he's not a superstar anymore. I don't know what happened. I do know what has to happen. We have to take a break or take a call. Take a break?
Yeah, we can take a break.
All right, we'll take a break. All right, 414-677-1250. Brewers fall in game one of this three-game set. Nobody should argue about the fact that tomorrow's the biggest game of the year, right? With 51 remaining?
100%. No, it is.
100%. What a difference 36 hours will make.
Mm-hmm.
You win tomorrow, you got to pop at the series, get out of St. Louis. That's the way you have to look at it, but it starts with tomorrow. That's for sure. And the offense needs to step up and get some runs on the board. I believe they're facing another lefty tomorrow.
Mr. You Wainwright.
Think Wong or... Oh, it's Waino
it's
tomorrow.
Wainwright.
Yeah,
Wainwright,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so Wong and Tellez will be in the lineup
he should
tomorrow.
Be. Gee, you would hope,
you.
Right?
Yeah, I would assume.
I mean, you never know what's going to go through a council's head tonight.
Well, watch him give Hunter Renfroe and Andrew McCutchen a breather. Wouldn't that be something? All right, we'll come back. We're going to hear from Craig Council. Brewers fall 3-1 the final, and they need a win tomorrow. Still a lot more to get to. Gene Wagner, Plumbing Postgame Show here on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's the Gene Wagner Plumbing Baseball Postgame Show. Let's get the scoop from the skipper on today's game on 1250 AM The Fan.
And the Brewers fall 3-1 the final tonight. They lose game one of this big three-game set. Burns on the mound tomorrow. So you've got a really good chance to take game two and even up the series. Now, a couple of other things here. Was it me or did Victor Caratini not look happy with Keston Hira today?
Just a little irritated.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. The defense overall, it was a good game tonight. It really was. It was a decently played game. And again, as I said the other day, you continue to play good baseball and you're going to win your fair share of games. Now, the other team might play just as decent, maybe a tick better, and they're gonna take it from you. So that part of it is baseball. Now we're going to get to Craig Counsell here. He's going to talk about, you know, some loud outs. I haven't heard it yet, so I'm just, and that's been my MO for 17 years. Tim, I don't know if you know this, but I don't want to know what Craig Counsell has to say until I hear it, you know, and yep. Oftentimes it's a few minutes after he has already said it. So mm-hmm. He's already made some comments, but this is my speculation, is that he's going to talk about some loud outs, pretty good defense, good pitching, left the ball, middle of the plate. You can't miss in the middle of the plate to Goldschmidt. A guy like that's going to make you pay. So some of this is rather easy to predict. Now, just one more thing on the Rowdy Tellez versus Tyrone Taylor thing. So Tyrone Taylor's batting average is, what, about 220? I mean, where's he at, Tim? Let's just see where we're at here.
Yeah, Taylor, 224.
224.
You want Tellez?
Rowdy Tellez hits for a better batting average against lefties than Tyrone Taylor mm-hmm. does against across the board.
Yep.
So if we're going on that, when does that analytical information come into play here? And again, I know it's different positions, but I told you how you move McCutchen to center field and then Tellez is your DH, or Keston's your DH and Tellez goes to first. The other thing to think about, Rowdy Tellez starts a ball game against a left-hander. He's not going to have four or five at-bats against a lefty the whole game. They're going to flip around, and they're going to have to go to their pen at some point. So you get that bonus as well. The other metric that is involved here is Rowdy Tellez as a pinch hitter. Not very good. Again, you pick and choose the numbers that you want to make to bolster and back the decisions you're making. We all do it, right? We all justify our decisions, and Craig Counsell does that as well. And I just believe that Rowdy Tellez is an everyday player, and I've said that all season long. And now he's back to the platoon situation. It's clearly he's back to the platoon situation. So batting average against lefties, Rowdy is a better batting average than Tyrone Taylor has against lefties and righties. I don't know. Just sometimes you can't figure this stuff out. But overall, I think, you know, Craig Counsell, still the arrow's pointing up on him getting better and better and better as a major league manager. I will say that. And maybe in some regards that, you know, he will change a little bit on the philosophy. I'm not sure. Some people say, nope, this is the way he is, and that's that, and you move on. Or a lot of people say it's the players that he's got, that he has to do this because of the cards he's been dealt. You have to consider that, too. All right. If you want to jump in here, 414-677-1250, but let's get to manager Craig Counsell after the Brewers fall in game one.
With Eric tonight, was it just two mistakes to the wrong guys tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I thought Eric pitched well. You know, with the way, you know, Goldschmidt especially, it's just unfortunately he's swinging the bat so well that you don't, if you make a mistake, he's making you pay. And, you know, there's making you pay with a base hit, and he's making you pay with a homer. And that's, he's having a great season, and he's a tough hitter. And so that was, you know, that was the first inning, just a mistake. And then I thought Eric pitched really, really well, you know, and gave us a chance.
It's the first time most of your guys have seen Montgomery. Is there a familiarity thing that goes along with that, or would you credit it more with just Jordan?
Well, I mean, I thought we had pretty good at-bats. Yeah. You know, we had several lineouts. I thought he pitched well. I thought, you know, he got himself, you know, we battled kind of back into some counts, and then he made a really good pitch, like on an edge. So, you know, he pitched well, but I really thought we had good at bats. I thought we battled him good, and even when, you know, when an at bat that didn't end our way, I thought we had pretty good at bat. I thought he made a great pitch to Christian after Christian battled back and threw a really good fastball up in the zone. You know, he threw a borderline pitch to Keston. To get him, to Brasso to get him. So he made some good pitches when it mattered.
There was a lot of hard contact. I mean, you mentioned some of those guys. That was...
Yeah, I mean, several lineouts, and that's the way it goes.
The seventh inning was pretty big. Obviously, Weicha leads off with a triple. Victor drives him in. You know, looks like you're in good shape, and all of a sudden, ground ball, double play, and just kind of bad luck.
Yeah, well, we had a couple innings where we got some, you know, we got leadoff hitter on and just didn't do much after that. And so that's unfortunately the way it went tonight.
You always say, you know, one game leads to the next. So for Helsley to pitch two innings tonight, you probably won't see him the rest of the series.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Brent did a really nice job tonight. And then Jason got escaped that one, so... You know, their big guy pitched two innings, but they got other guys that are good. So we kept it close and pitched well enough to keep it close. Credit to our guys. Hopefully that pays off the rest of the weekend.
You know, tough situation that fifth inning. You have the guys you want up there, and you know, like you said, he just made some good pitches. Like, you know, was that a key momentum swing right there that you couldn't get going?
Oh yeah, I mean, that was an example of I thought he made pitches. I didn't think our at bats were. I thought we had good at bats. We battled in those at bats, got ourselves back into counts, fouled off some tough pitches, and he kept making pitches. So I think that's the spot where you give him credit for making pitches.
It's the Gene Wagner Plumbing Baseball Postgame Show. What play got you the most excited from today's game? Did it get you up off the couch? It's time for the Call of the Game, presented by the 5 O'Clock Steakhouse. 5 O'Clock Steakhouse, Wisconsin's number one steakhouse by the Food Network. Visit them and make online reservations at 5oclocksteakhouse.com.
There's a base hit down the left field line. In the score is Urias. Victor Caratini just slaps one to the opposite field. His third hit of the game. And the Brewers are on the board for the first time here in the seventh inning.
Yeah, there it was on Bally Sports Wisconsin. Our play of the game, our call of the game. As Victor Caratini, a three-hit night tonight. And he knocked in Luis Urias there, who had tripled. And the Brewers were set up for a big inning. The next hitter... Tyrone Taylor hit into a double play. Ouch. I thought a crooked number there was potentially going to turn that game a little bit, but it did not. Call the game with 5 O'Clock Steakhouse, 5OClockSteakhouse.com to make your reservations, or pick up your home grill kit. You can order online or call 5 o'clock Steakhouse. And again, up next, I do want to mention, we haven't touched base on the Field of Dreams games, Tim, and in Iowa. Have you ever been there?
Never have. Never have been there yet.
Okay, cool place.
Yeah.
It really is. It's kind of strange, but it's cool.
I assume you have been there.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And it opened the door to a lot of broadcasters really kind of ticking me off here. And I'm not going to name names, but not even on this station. Not here.
Okay.
But just across the dial and everything. I'll mention why after the break here. But I think it's kind of cool when you play in different locations.
Mm-hmm.
Major League Baseball, that's good marketing. And I think it's good for the game when you do have these things, a Little League game and the.
That just looks cool.
Field of Dreams,
the setting and the sun setting over the corn and just that whole atmosphere.
They go overseas and maybe they go down to some of the Latin countries and they play down there, which I think they probably should, honestly. You get so much tremendous talent coming influx from the Latin countries that why wouldn't you go down to Venezuela or Puerto Rico and play some games? Didn't they play in Puerto Rico?
I want to say they did, yeah. A couple, 10 years ago?
I want to say Wes Helms ended up getting hurt down in Puerto Rico. I'm not kidding.
Wes Helms.
I think he slipped and fell in the dugout there or something like that on some ramp or something. But, yeah, I'll talk about the Field of Dreams thing coming up after the break here. Gene Wagner, Plumbing Post Game Show, Brewers fall 3-1.
Hey, Dad. You want to have a catch?
I'd like that.
There it is. Field of Dreams game 2 last night. And I don't know how you guys feel about the movie, but it's my favorite movie. And so I'm a little territorial about this. Welcome back. Gene Wagner, Plumbing Post Game Show. Brewers fall 3-1 in game 1 of this big 3-game set. I don't know how you guys feel about the movie. I love it. And I've said for years that there should be a second one and get super creative. Don't get goofy and sideways on it and try to spike in some sort of comic book hero or Avengers or whatever, Marvel characters or whatever. Don't do that. Just have it real. I don't know. I wouldn't. I'm not the plot writer. I'm not a writer, but I think there should be, like, what happens in the cornfield? How did this happen? How did they get here? Mm-hmm. How did, all that sort of thing. Sort of maybe be a prequel. I could see that happening.
Okay.
But do you like the movie, Tim?
So I've seen the movie, but I haven't seen it all together, if you get what my drift. Like, I've seen
just
parts,
bits and pieces
I've seen bits
over
and
the
pieces
years.
Of it. Yeah. Which is crazy because I love baseball. And it is a good movie. I just haven't seen it all in one sitting.
And so what I've been hearing lately through all this week, is I think it was an open-door policy to have sportscasters, talk show hosts, literally just laugh at it and laugh at the movie like it was garbage. And it's not garbage. And it's a decent movie that's got a decent following. I mean, to each their own. I get it. Some people don't like certain things, and that's fine. Subjective. But, you know, just to laugh at it, and they're giddy on it, too. Like it was a joke. Like it was a box office flop, which it was not. And I think Major League Baseball, marry Field of Dreams like that, I think is super cool. I think it's good for the game. And I've been there. I haven't been there since they built the new stadium that they play the big league games in. But it really is, Tim, you got to watch the movie and you got to kind of get into it a little bit and watch it front to back so you understand the gravity of it. But, you know, the house is there and the field is there. And it's just kind of a weird, almost skeletal setup. You expect more when you get there. I got to be honest. You expected a little more glitz and glam, and it really wasn't that way. And I was there like 10 years ago. So they may have built some things up, and there's a little gift shop that you would think would be like a Quick Trip. But it's really not. It's almost like a rummage sale, or at least it was at that time, where it's just a real small little gift shop, and you can buy certain things or whatever. But
what did you think of the Harry Carey yesterday?
All of that tied in is super good.
Mm-hmm.
I do because it, I think it educates a lot of. Educate might be the wrong word, but I think it informs. I think a younger audience of traditional baseball or baseball in years past and things like that. When you spike in some Harry Carey stuff. Or I think in the future, the Vin Scully, and you'll see all sorts of things. This will continue. And I think it's going to be a tradition. Brewers geographically are local enough. They just might get their pop at a Field of Dreams game as well. But to go overseas to play, why not fly into Hawaii? What teams wouldn't want to do that and play a series there?
Especially in like April when it's cold.
Yeah,
true. Some of these places, Minnesota, Milwaukee, Kansas City, Chicago.
But the whole Field of Dreams concept, I think, is super cool.
It is,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's, I mean, I don't want to get into the ins and outs of the movie, but if you get a chance, you love baseball, just pop that movie in. It's kind of a cool movie. It really is. I've always thought it was a cool movie, but it just bugged me that a lot of announcers and talk show hosts were just laughing at it like, did you watch the movie and you love baseball and you still didn't like it? How's that possible? Or are you just trying to move the needle a little bit and laugh at it and thinking it's cool? I don't know. Some people don't like movies that I love, you know, and Vacation. You like the movie Vacation? Some people have never seen it. It's okay.
Like Vegas Vacation?
Yeah, the Vegas Vacation, okay. The original Vacation, okay. European yes. Vacation. Yeah.
I like them all.
Yeah, about Major League. 1 and 2 were
love
good.
It. They were those were on this entire past week, and I watched it every time.
Yep, 1 and 2 are really good movies. They're really good movies. Now, 3, not so much. Uecker always rips on that, and he says, you know, that debuted on Airplanes. So never debuted in the box office. So he's been ripping on that. But Field of Dreams is just a good movie. Pop it in, and you know, it'll make sense with what Major League Baseball is doing. I enjoy it. I really do. All right, that's going to do it for us. Tomorrow, Brewers need a victory. 6:15 start time. Is that a big Fox game, Tim? Do you know?
No. This is just a regular Bally
that
Sports.
That should have been.
Yeah.
And this is Brewers-Cardinals, first place
on
the line.
Good pitching matchup.
A great pitching matchup.
Wainwright and Burns, so.
Absolutely. 6:15 first pitch. After the last pitch, you make the switch. We'll be right here. Gene Wagner Plumbing postgame show. You mentioned it. Let's check the numbers. Burns and Waino.
Yeah, Burns. Corbin Burns going on the hill for the Brew Crew. 8-5 with a 2.45 ERA. Going up against Adam Wainwright. 8-8 with a 3.42 ERA.
Let's see if the Brewers' offense can at least put their fair share of numbers up. Let's say 4-5 runs. Should be able to get it done.
From my memory, if you the Brewers have attacked quickly against Wainwright the last couple starts out, so
recently, yes,
attack quickly, get you know, put up a 2-3 spot.
Boy,
right
he
away.
He had their number in was it in Milwaukee? I believe.
Yeah,
I mean it was years ago, but he was just unhittable. He was like a Quintana role, and that they just couldn't do anything with him. But then the tide turned a little bit, and as like you said, just recently, they've been getting him pretty well, and hopefully that's going to be the case tomorrow. You will see probably the A lineup tomorrow.
Hopefully.
I'm assuming.
Good Lord knows what's going to go through Council's head tonight. And he could wake up like a Ned Yost and say, I'm going to put Brasso back out there again.
Well, when do we see Mario Feliciano?
Good question.
I mean, Caratini can't catch every single game.
No. Maybe tomorrow?
I'm thinking
Sunday.
Yeah, with Ashby.
Might get a good Sunday lineup out there, too.
Yeah.
Especially if they win tomorrow.
Day game after the night game. So I could see that. But let's talk some Brewers baseball again tomorrow night. After the last pitch as you make the switch. 3-1 final. There'll be better days and a huge game tomorrow. I'm all jacked about that. But let's find out what the Brewers do to answer back. For Tim Shea, my name is Tim Allen. Enjoy the rest of your night, and we'll see you tomorrow. Despite the outcome, smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.